All right, let me share with you the two items that we're bringing before you. One is an increase in the student insurance fees. You know, there's no increase in tuitions, there's no increase in fees this year on the Carbondale campus, but we do have a student insurance fee increase. The matter that we've been looking at is the level of the increase, and based upon requests for information from others, we've been reviewing what our fees are in contrast to public universities. We're certainly very much in line, although fees do increase. The increase would be from $1,750 to $1,950. The increase, while substantive, is in line with what we're seeing in others, and in some cases far less than what is being experienced by other institutions. Nevertheless, it's hefty. 33% of our students do take the fee, and the others rely on family insurance and other matters to satisfy our requirement that they are covered. And, of course, as the number of students decreases that rely on the insurance that we provide to our carrier, of course, the demographics or size of the price will increase. We're in the fifth year of a 10-year contract with our provider, and some have asked, you know, should we consider trying to go out on the market. We've looked at that. It doesn't seem to be your advantage right now, given the current state of affairs. So what we're asking is that you approve this. Our plan is completely compatible with the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, if a student has his or her own insurance and family, then we do not require them to take ours. In addition, we are proposing, and this is something that our dean of the School of Medicine may want to speak to, and that is a change in the number of hours that are capped, lowering it from 15 student hours in the summer for students in medicine to 5 hours. And I'm going to defer a minute to Dean Cruz, and you may help all of us understand this better. It certainly has my approval.
Yeah, there's a practical issue related to that. When the students finish their work in year one, they have the summer off. That's the only summer that they get off in medical school. We've developed two very good programs for them. One's a clinical program that has an academic requirement, and the other one is strictly research. It's called the Mentored Professional Enrichment Experience, MPEE. They do that with researchers, and they can do that in Carbondale, or they can do that in Springfield. But generally speaking, with the leases they have for their homes and everything, and the relationships they've already developed in Carbondale, a lot of times they want to do it there in Carbondale, sometimes in Springfield. But in either place, they get charged the same fee, and they actually don't take advantage of what those fees cover as well. So this change, and actually it has inhibited a fair number of students from doing that research activity, which we would like them to do with SIU professors. And most of them are in the School of Medicine, but you know some are in other programs too. So we have worked on the various ways that we could get this done and the best program to give them the incentive to do it. And so this was one of four things that a committee came up with that was headed by Joe Cheatwood, who is a professor of anatomy there. So that's it. It's to stimulate the students and give them a break to do that that kind of research in the summer.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
Questions?
I have a question for Dr. Mahoney, if he's around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, okay, I couldn't see. Now, question is, going forward, can this be negotiated on a system-wide basis for both the campuses instead of now both the campuses are doing individually?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things we can talk about as a potential one we could do together, because I think Chancellor Dunn's point is a good point. as you have fewer students, it decreases your ability to get a better rate, and so larger group of students might actually allow us to do some more things. So I think it's something worth exploring in the future for sure.
Any other questions or comments? Is there a motion for the committee to approve this item?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries. Committee item 3, proposals approval of purchase for computer accessories on the Carbondale campus. Chancellor Dunn.
Thank you very much. Trustees may have seen this in earlier time. We have had a long-standing relationship with through the Midwestern Higher Education Compact with Dell. And the contract is, the proposal is to award a three-year contract to Dell Marketing out of Round Rock, Texas. The total cost of this could be up to $8 million, depending upon our needs with respect to purchases. The contract would allow for desktop computers, servers, storage devices, computer tablets, laptops, printers, monitors, and related computer accessories. And also this contract will facilitate the combination of individual departmental orders into larger institutional purchases, which I think is very consistent with Trustee Sharma's comment a few minutes ago about trying to make sure that we are exercising our best impact when we go out for pricing in the market in terms of totality. We've purchased Dell computers for use in student computer labs, classroom laboratories, and faculty staff offices for the past 17 years, and they've done a very, very good part of this. So we request your approval to allow us, give us the authority to enter into a three-year contract. The Dell marketing could be up to $8 million. Of course, it's dependent upon what our actual needs are and how much our expenditures are. But that would be the cap. It would be $8 million.
And I understand that this will be paid for by the departments that actually use them and need them?
Yes. Correct.
Any comments or questions? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the motion carries.
Thank you.
Committee item 4 proposes approval to purchase promotional items and printed apparel at SIUE. Vice Chancellor Walker.
Hello, everyone. Yes, this is a periodic matter that comes before the board that's exactly the same for promotional items, printed apparel. This sets an upper limit for primarily to benefit the student affairs and intercollegiate athletics. For these items, it doesn't necessarily reflect an actual spend. They, of course, will only be spending as their budgets allow. But it is a six-year agreement, and this, the totals there reflect the bid amounts and that was were submitted by each of the four firms that are being recommended for a contractor.
Any comments or questions? Do I have a motion to approve?
Approved.
One second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries. Item number 5 proposes approval of purchase for trash and recycling and removal services at SIUE. Vice Chancellor Walker.
For another periodic matter that comes before the board, this isn't recognized as a utility. Thus, it does require a board action. There are two contracts. The numbers total there are based on the bids that the two firms submitted, Allied Waste and Waste Management, will get the contract based on the bids and depending on which campus they're serving. And it is a 5-year contract with Preston and Site.
Any comments or questions? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Subhash?
Yep.
Will you second it?
Yeah, I second. I thought I didn't do it.
I'm sorry, okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. Committee item 6 proposes approval of salary and reappointment of acting vice president for academic affairs for the system. President Mahoney, will you speak to this?
Yeah, this is just to continue Jim Allen in his role until either August 31st or when we find a new vice president, whatever comes first. So his appointment right now and on April 15th, so this allows us to continue him in this role. He's been very valuable and helpful to me in that transition to this role, and we need to continue that until we find someone else to fill his role.
Any comments or questions? Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Then the motion carries. Item 7 proposes temporary financial arrangements for fiscal year 2021. Vice President Stuckey?
Thank you. Every year we have a period of time between July and usually September before we budget forward for the board to approve. So in that span, we don't have technically approved budget. To make sure that we aren't operating without the approval of the board, we pass this item every year to allow in the president's judgment to allow expenditures to occur during that period, and we ask for approval for this temporary financial arrangement.
Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries. Item 8 proposes approval of purchase for medical professional liability insurance and broker services. Dr. Stuckey?
Thank you. As you know, our self-insurance program directly pays medical professional liability claims that are settled for less than $5 million. We do purchase commercial insurance, though, to cover any claims in excess of $5 million. This matter requests that the broker we use for those be Marsh USA. We use Marsh for years and years, and they are used extensively throughout higher education here in the state of Illinois for brokerage services for many items. We issued an RFP for this service. We had two responses. Marsh was chosen on its merits. The initial contract will be for a four-year period with options for 3 2-year renewals. Marsh will be paid $55,000 a year for those first 4 years, and that cost will be escalated at 3% per year thereafter if we choose to those renewals. It approves also a total of $5 million in the self-insurance over those 10 years to cover both the commercial insurance that's purchased by a Marsh and the broker services. To put that in perspective, this year we're going to spend about $300,000 for the combination of that commercial insurance and the broker service. So this gives us a little bit of leeway over 10 years for some inflation. We covered nearly, last count, 300 positions in the School of Medicine. We recommend your approval.
Any questions? Comments? Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries. Committee item 9 proposes approval of authorization for the sale of certificates of participation series 2020A, School of General Medicine Advanced Care Clinic. Dr. Stuckey.
Thank you. This matter does authorize the sale of those certificates of participation, easier said as COPS, as part of that $11.5 million Dental School Advanced Clinic. MISTA recently sent you a revised matter on this a few days ago because the deal has all been done, finalized, all costs have been identified, and the final following will be the exact amount, $4,575,000. The MISTA interest rate is fixed at 2.25%. The COPS were sold through an open bidding process. Illinois National Bank of Springfield purchased them. Funds to repay these costs will come from various sources available to the School of Dental Medicine. We ask for your approval.
Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? And the motion carries. Committee item 10 is a quarterly investment report. Vice President Stuckey?
Yes, we are required to provide that quarterly investment report to you. So this is our way of making sure that it is law and Dan, and then you have then received it on the form of high agenda item. The basic portfolio has not changed much in the last 4 months. We obviously expect it to change pretty drastically there in the next few months. We're not quite sure how, but for one thing, we're probably going to have a drawdown in our intermediate term investment portfolio to bring more into the short term. But we're going to need that. We need the cash for operations. But here for your report, everything's been stable. Nothing exceptional to report from that report.
Thank you. Are there any comments?
Just one comment. So that's through 12/31. When are we going to get the first calendar quarter?
It's in a bit of, obviously it's just finished, so it's in operation right now. As we in preparation right now. Is our next board meeting July or September?
July.
July. You'll receive it in July.
Okay, if there's no further business before the Finance Committee, this meeting is adjourned.
Okay, the last committee meeting is the Architectural and Design Committee. The committee is chaired by Trustee Simmons and Trustees Curtis, Rogers, and Tedrick serve as members. Mr. Simmons, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have three items to move forward to the full board agenda, and those are items G, J, and K. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from February 13, 2020. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
Move.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And no, same. So no one objected, and both minutes are approved. The next item is what I mentioned earlier about item G, and this grants a permanent easement to the city of Carbondale. And I believe Chancellor Dunn is planning to speak to this. And Chancellor Dunn, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about this easement to Carbondale.
Thank you very much. We're requesting approval for two permanent easements to the city of Carbondale for construction of a traffic circle at the intersection of McLaughlin Road and Chautauqua Street. The city of Carbondale has requested these easements purpose of cleaning, construction, and maintenance of a roundabout traffic circle and for other highway purposes. Of course, all of this relates to better traffic control as well as safety. The work will require easements of 0.285 acres at the southeast corner and 0.129 acres in the southwest corner of the intersection of Bradley Road and Chautauqua Street. In return for the easements, the university will receive compensation of $5,345 per state law. Funds received through this transaction will be used for deferred maintenance projects at the university. This currently is a city of Carbondale project. It's funded through the Federal Highway Safety Improvement Program in collaboration with the Illinois Department of Transportation. And of course, it will connect in a very nice way east and westbound vehicles on Chautauqua with north and southbound travelers in the Blackwood Road. This work is expected to begin later this year. We've been into really a long-term discussion with the mayor and others to make sure that we are a good partner and supporter of things that are good for our community. I think this is one of those, so we seek and ask for your approval.
Thank you, Chancellor Dunn. Is there a motion to approve this item?
Approved.
And a second? Okay, thank you. And then, is there any discussion of these easements to the city of Carbondale? If not, can I have a vote for those signify in favor by saying aye, please?
Aye.
Opposed, the same? This motion is approved by this committee.
Thank you.
our agenda, which is Board Agenda Item J, is the approval of the Medical Resource Center at Linda Green Hall in, on the Carbondale campus. And I believe parents are down here back to speak on this as well, correct?
Thank you very much. The matter before you seeks a project and budget approval to renovate the Medical Resource Center at Linda Green Hall. The MRC, the Resource Center, provides curriculum support for medical, med prep, and physician assistant students. And the MRC collection includes prints, electronic, audiovisual resources, and basic and clinical sciences to meet the information needs of these programs and, of course, the students. The project will influence include the reconfiguration of existing spaces to better support students, faculty, and staff. We utilize the center. We're hopeful that construction will begin this summer and be completed by January of 2021 using university physical plant staff. Cost for the project is estimated at $1.1 million and will be funded by the School of Medicine Facilities and Infrastructure Improvement Accounts. And we respectfully submit this item for consideration. And Dean Cruz, is there anything you would like to add? Please do so.
I would just say that this is one in a series of three renovations for Lindgren Hall, which is mostly occupied by the School of Medicine, all from our restricted facility funds. And, I'll just mention that it will be the library learning resource simulation support for the Lincoln Scholars, too, the new eight career medical students who will spend all 4 years in Carbondale. And I'll just report that we have all eight of them and four on the waiting list, and everybody will be pleased by who's going to be in that program.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve committee item number 3?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion of this item with this committee? If not, all those in favor of passing this to the board, the full board, item J, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. This item is approved by this committee. The item 4 on our agenda is Board Agenda Item K. It's a revision of the contract at the SIUE School of Dental Medicine Advanced Care Clinic. And Dr. Pembroke, would you please present this?
Thank you, Trustee Simmons. This, as you said, is a revision to the award of contract that was visited by the board in February. At that time, the plumbing part of the operation relating to the construction of the SDM clinic was awarded to GRP Mechanical. Since that time, they have withdrawn their bid, so this suggests moving the next bidder on the line, Kane Mechanical Group, to be the plumbing contractor for this job. It makes sense, and I recommend approval of this motion.
Thank you, Chancellor Pembroke. Is there a motion to approve item 4 to the full board for agenda item K?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion by this committee? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. This item is approved by this committee. If there's no other business, then I will just say that I'm sure Dr. Mahoney is going to be up on the changes that we need to make as a university, and I anticipate the Architect and Design Committee will be involved a little bit in the post-COVID world, even though our revenues aren't looking as generous as we'd like them to be for different things, but we'll be gathering team here soon, I'm sure. So thank you all, the members of the Architect and Design Committee, and we stand adjourned.
Okay. Next, we will call the full board meeting to order of the Southern Illinois Board of Trustees. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Curtis.
Present.
Gilbert.
Present.
Hightower.
Present.
Lockett.
Here.
Rogers.
Present.
Sharma.
Present.
Scholar.
Here.
Simmons.
Here.
And Tedrick.
Present.
A quorum is established.
Okay, the full board meeting is now in session. I want the record reflect that here at Stone Center, we're practicing social distancing. Everybody's at least 6 feet away, if not more, from each other. And again, Luke, will you just, again, for the record, say why we were able to do this in light of the executive order from the governor by video?
Yes, normally the board is required to have a quorum physically present together, and then there are limited exceptions that allow for a video or telephone conferencing. There's a governor's order 20-07 that suspended those physical quorum requirements, as well as the limitations or the reasons that trustees are allowed to participate remotely. And so those have been suspended, and so allows for the remote conferencing conducting of the meeting today.
Okay, thank you. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the meeting held on February 12th and 13th, 2020. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, the minutes are approved. For the trustee reports, I want to make a few comments prior to Dr. Mahoney giving his report because of the situation we are in. Who would have thought that when we rang in 2020 on January 1st, that within 4 months we would be in the midst of a global, national, and state humanitarian and financial crisis that a few weeks ago was just unimaginable. The coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic has turned this world upside down and has erased any semblance of normalcy that existed in 2019. These are not ordinary times. And as people talk about a new normal going forward, we have no idea what that will be because the crisis is not over and the effects and impact on our daily lives as well as our educational system and institutions will be felt for a long, long time. We must realize that there are some things in life that are beyond our control and reach. That as members of the human race that occupies this beautiful and bountiful earth, that although we may speak different languages, enjoy different customs, and have different faith beliefs, we all breathe the same air. The world is united in fighting and battling this horrible enemy virus, not with soldiers with guns, bullets, bombs, and missiles, but with healthcare workers on the front lines with masks, gloves, ventilators, and protective gowns, with first responders, grocery store, truckers, postal, and sanitation workers. We are indeed grateful, and I salute their commitment and dedication for putting their lives on the line so that the rest of us can be safe and have essentials to live on. And I'm proud to say that the men and women of the SIU system on each of our campuses have been engaged in the battle in support of our frontline healthcare workers. President Mahoney, during his remarks, will outline all what we as a system are doing to support our state efforts to beat back this virus. I am additionally proud of our alumni and other donors who have stepped up by donating to a relief fund to support and assist our students who are most impacted during this challenging time. Our hearts go out to everyone who has lost loved ones and those who have lost their jobs or been furloughed as a result of this pandemic. The effect has been devastating on a great portion of our citizens, especially when you see food banks that are overwhelmed. Besides being the governing body of this board, of this university, this board of the SIU system, with its fiduciary responsibilities, one of the primary duties is in the selection of a president for the system. Without question, the best decision this board made in selecting our president was in the hiring of Dr. Dan Mahoney. into 2 months he has been our president, Dr. Mahoney has done a remarkable job of navigating us through uncharted waters. It has been said that in times of crisis, good leaders emerge. And how we respond to the current crisis will define us as a system, not only for our students, faculty, and staff, but also for our state and communities. In less than 2 weeks on the job, President Mahoney had to face challenges for which there is no playbook. He had to close our campuses to in-person instruction and oversee the efforts of our faculty, staff, and students to transition to a remote learning environment while ensuring continuity of our work and creating as little disruption as possible to daily academics. Commencements and other events had to be canceled to protect our students, their parents, and the public from this virus. Dr. Mahoney's calm, steady, and deliberate decision-making during this crisis was forward-thinking, all with the safety of our students, faculty, and staff in mind. He has been collaborative and sought input from the chancellors and Dean Cruz, as well as faculty and other units within the university system. He has communicated on literally a daily basis with the board, including forwarding Dr. Cruz's daily COVID-19 updates to us. And Dr. Hightower and I have been on the phone weekly and sometimes more with Dr. Mahoney as he updates us on what's going on, which seems to constantly change on a daily basis. He has kept our legislators and the governor's office informed as how our university is navigating this crisis. He has had weekly telephone meetings with the presidents of other Illinois universities in trying to coordinate responses to the numerous issues that are common to all the universities. And he has done all of this in compliance with the governor's stay-at-home order from here at Stone Center. While there are still many questions yet to be answered regarding state support, enrollment, and the future relative to the impact of COVID-19, I am confident in the leadership of President Mahoney and our campus administrators to maintain the safety of our students, faculty, staff, and communities while ensuring the best education for our students. In his report, President Mahoney will update the board, the public, and the media on how the SIU system and its medical school and respective campuses have been providing support to the local and state efforts to deal with the COVID-19 crisis, as well as planning for the unknown future. Finally, we are living in unprecedented times, but we as Americans are resilient and blessed, and we will get through these difficult times. And as you see on TV multiple times a day, we are all in this together, and together we will get through this. Dr. Hightower, I don't know whether you want to mention anything about the communications that you and I have on a weekly, if sometimes daily basis with Dr. Mahoney, but it has been nothing short of outstanding.
Just echo everything that you've said. Excellent overview, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. If there are no other trustee reports, I will report the executive committee has not met between the board meetings. And I'm now going to turn it over to Dr. Mahoney, his executive officer's report for the SIU system. President Mahoney.
Thank you, Chair Gilbert. And I'll start by saying I'm usually known for very, very short reports. This will be a little bit longer than my typical report, but there's a lot going on, and I think these things need to be discussed. I first want to start with thank yous. Thank you to our faculty and staff across the system. Their ability to adapt to changing situations has been nothing short of incredible. They've put the students first in so many ways. I've heard, and I can't count how many stories I've heard about the things they've done to go above and beyond throughout all of this. And even during our chancellor search this past week, the participation we had among our campus constituency groups was pretty amazing. I think we actually had more participation virtually than we did when we had people here on campus. And so the people really have adjusted, and they've stepped up in a lot of ways. Thank you to our administration. We've been on phone calls almost daily. I'm sure they're all anxious to look forward every day to the 4 o'clock phone call where we get to talk about all the things going on, but I appreciate them continually being part of that and being collaborative and finding ways that we can do better together as a group. I thank our alumni and friends. as I'll talk about in a second, who have helped contribute to funds to help support our students during this difficult period of time. We truly appreciate their support and their willingness to join us in making those contributions. And thank you to the Board of Trustees for being consistently supportive and being engaged and helpful as we've tried to work through all of this. I first want to just kind of discuss some of the things we've done this semester in order to support students, faculty, and staff. And I think we've done a very good job across the system of putting our people first in a variety of different ways. And when you start to look at the list, it becomes a lot of things that had to happen. One, we provided refunds for housing, food, some general fees, parking, some course fees, all of that amounted to getting about $10 million back to our students to help support them during this time. This is on top of the $9 million we got from the CARES Act, which we're about ready to get out and distribute, which will go to our neediest students, and we're doing our best to get it to the students with the greatest needs and get it out as quickly as possible. So you're now up to close to $20 million that we're getting out to our students during this time. And then there's the money that Chair Gilbert talked about that we've raised. It's, I think, roughly over $300,000 between the campuses that we've been able to raise through student emergency funds, which also has helped us to support students. So there's quite a bit of money that we've had available to get out to students and help to support them. On top of that, we've expanded our food pantry efforts to provide food for those students who were food insecure. We provided housing and food for students who needed to stay here rather than leave campus. Again, there's was some discussion of sending everyone home, but frankly, not all are in a position where that would have been their best choice. So allowing them the opportunity to stay here on campus, stay someplace that was safe and where they could get food was important. We changed our grading system to allow students to choose a pass-fail option if they would like. A number of institutions have done that. Ours is probably one of the more student-friendly options that I've seen when I've looked at all the different ones out there. We've created hotspots to increase student internet and Wi-Fi access. We maintain access to core services through mostly virtual means. We've increased staffing to answer questions about technology and online classes and created easier ways for students and families to reach out with those questions. We've constantly updated our websites. We've had websites at Carbondale, Edwardsville, and at the School of Medicine that continually have provided information to anybody who needed to know what was going on. There's also been daily, weekly messages to inform students, faculty, and staff, as well as those weekly updates to state and federal government officials and their staff. We created a student advising mechanism so they can easily indicate if they're having trouble with their online classes. We created video messaging for faculty and staff to send encouraging messages to their students. We've expanded health information phone lines for students to access information about their health and COVID-19. We've expanded our online mental health counseling, expanded online career center support, provide multiple approaches for our graduation ceremonies based on student feedback. We surveyed our students and moving forward with virtual and hopefully eventually face-to-face opportunities for graduation as well. For our employees, we've continued to pay our employees, even those employees who, due to their jobs, could not really work from home. So we've taken down that commitment. And some of those employees are our student workers as well, we've continued to pay. We facilitated work for a wide variety group as much as we possibly could. We maintained essential functions in a variety of areas, including our research labs, which we simply could not completely shut down. And we've also allowed our faculty to have another year on their tenure clock, knowing that this disruption may have hurt their progress towards tenure. So in many ways, we've tried to support our people in every way we could. But we've also made contributions to the state. A lot of times people have talked about our School of Medicine being on the front line, which they have, and have stepped up in some wonderful ways. But that probably underestimates the number of ways that the SIU system has stepped up. So I'm going to go through some of those. The School of Biological Science faculty at SIUC are working with the Illinois Department of Health to be a major supplier of a viral transport medium that the state needs to conduct COVID-19 tests. They are producing about 10,000 vials per week, and this contribution is roughly about 30% of the VTM used by the state. SIU Carbondale was the first university in the state to deliver this key substance. Faculty at SIUC are also pitching in to help solve the local shortage of face shields for essential healthcare workers at Southern Illinois Healthcare by using 3D printers to produce new shields. Similarly, Edwardsville School of Engineering have donated 50 protective face shields to the SIUE Police Department and has plans to provide critical PPE to the Anderson Hospital this week. SIU has been instrumental in establishing new test sites such as the new ones that were established this week by the Centers for Family Medicine in Carbondale, Springfield, Decatur, and Quincy. In some cases, SAU is taking the lead, and in other cases, we are assisting others in running these test centers. But in all cases, we played a key role in expanding the testing capacity in the state, particularly in the Southern Illinois region. In addition, SIU has helped the Illinois Department of Public Health recruit additional staff for state testing labs in several locations and have had lots of volunteers among our students, staff, and faculty from across the system. SIUE worked with the Illinois Department of Public Health and Anderson Hospital to set up a COVID testing lab at Anderson Hospital, increasing the number of testing sites in the downstate Illinois area as well. The School of Medicine has shared a statistician with the local county health department to aid in proper reporting of the coronavirus incidents in the county. Graduate students studying public health, including our own student trustee, Dr. Lockett, volunteered to conduct daily well checks for 130 apartment complex residents under quarantine in Taylorville, Illinois, and the Illinois Department of Public Health placed a 10-story facility under quarantine. The SIU Foundation is also serving as the fiscal agent in a partnership with the Illinois Board of Higher Education, the Illinois Community College Board, and the Illinois Student Assistance Commission to raise emergency funds for students from across the state. So the money will come in there, and that money will go out to all of the institutions across the state of Illinois. WSIU-TV collaborated with public media partners at the state and national level, as well as with regional offices of education and school districts across Illinois to develop multi-platform resources to support home learning. In addition to the new daily lineup of PBS Kids programming that provides children with lessons in literacy, science, math, world culture, and social-emotional skills, WSIU added instructional programming for middle and high school students to ensure all students can continue their education at home without necessarily always having good internet access. Staff with SIU Carbondale's Office of Innovation and Economic Development have been available to help businesses, particularly small businesses, deal with the impact of the safety protocols from the COVID-19 pandemic. Staff members are assisting both by telephone and virtual connections. In addition, free informational webinars are being held to help those businesses. A partnership between the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services and SIU School of Medicine established a new pandemic health worker program to support the health and wellness needs of people at home during the pandemic. The pandemic health workers and teams will be deployed in Springfield, Carbondale, Decatur, Quincy, and the Metro East area to identify those in need and deliver health and wellness services to them through wellness checks, check-ins, home deliveries, telehealth services, and emergency management connections. A COVID antibody test is being validated at SIU School of Medicine Labs in Springfield thanks to faculty and researchers in the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Cell Biology. A researcher with SIUC and with the School of Medicine has completed the genome sequence of the virus that causes COVID-19, which will combine with the work by others across the U.S. to complete the genomic geographic distribution with hopes of employing this genomic information with the activity of the pandemic health workers and tracing the contacts. The NCERC at SIUE donated 4,000 gallons of ethanol to a local distillery which has the ability to transform it into hand sanitizer. Thanks to this cooperative effort, healthcare providers and law enforcement in the area have a huge updated supply. Staff at the East St. Louis Center Head Start and Early Head Start programs and the Early Childhood Center on the SIUE campus are working with SIUE Dining Services to provide meals to children and families they serve through an organized meal pickup opportunity every 2 weeks. The meals are prepackaged by Dining Services and include breakfast, lunch, snack items, and more. That's the list I have, and I am sure that is not comprehensive. I tried as much as I could to gather that information, and every day I add to this list. Every day I find out something else where we've been asked for help from the state, or someone has seen an opportunity to volunteer to help, and someone in the SIU family has stepped forward. So the contributions that we've made to the state and the local community has been pretty tremendous and something we should be proud of. I also want to give a couple other updates as we look towards enrollment. We are very early in projecting what the fall enrollment may be. Nationally, articles are generally indicating, I know the American Council on Education has estimated a 15% decline in enrollment next year. I read one this morning that was estimating a 20% decline. Now, in general, higher education enrollment has been declining annually about 1 to 2% a year. Obviously, a 15 to 20% decline would be a massive increase in that. Again, far too early to predict for us, but there are certainly some positive signs for the fall 2020 semester. We're seeing increases in housing deposits compared to last year, and any enrollment declines compared to last year are actually quite slight and nowhere near what other institutions are seeing. Given that some of the national research has indicated up to 30% of the students may be waiting longer to make decisions and longer to enroll to come back, the numbers we are seeing are actually quite good and provide some reasons for optimism. We may see actually more increases later and may see more Illinois students deciding to stay closer to home, which again in recent years hasn't happened as much. I used to refer to my former enrollment manager at my previous institution as Mr. Cautiously Optimistic. I will take on that title now, and I'm saying I'm cautiously optimistic that the great efforts that have been taking place across the system towards enrollment actually may put us in a fairly good position for enrollment in the fall. As we look at our budget, we've continued to monitor our cash position and current year budget, which has certainly been hit by the COVID-19 crisis just as everyone else has in significant ways. Our School of Medicine is much like medical schools across the country in being particularly hit hard because of the decline in clinical revenue. So many of our probably most immediate decisions will need to be made to address those issues at the School of Medicine. But we continue to work through our budget, look at our liquidity projections with every new piece of data we have, so we're prepared for fiscal year 2021 and the various scenarios that may play out, and we are looking at a variety of different budget scenarios. Some of what happens with the budget in fall, or for the fiscal year 2021, will relate to what we do in fall 2020. So we're also planning for that. To be clear, our goal is to have on-ground education and to be as close as possible to normal when we come back in the fall. This would be the best for our students and their educational experience, and if we can do it safely, it is what we need to do. In order to prepare for this coming fall, we need to spend the next couple months exploring possible options and preparing for a variety of scenarios. This spring, we had to make some of those decisions in a matter of days and hours. Now we have some time to do some more planning. We need to take advantage of that. Starting tomorrow, I'll be meeting with a system-wide task force that's focused on our fall 2020 semester. This task force will have several goals in mind. One is to ensure that we are sharing ideas from across the system and from each campus on how to address all the issues and scenarios we may face. We want to make sure that no one group, one area, does not miss out on a good idea from another simply because we're not communicating effectively. Second thing, we want to ensure that there's not an issue or scenario that we're not exploring on both campuses but should. Again, sharing all this information will make sure we explore all the options that we have. Also, we'll be exploring if there's ways we can utilize the resources across the system to address some of those challenges we face. In other words, if we collaborate as a system, we might be able to have more and better options. Now, it's important to keep in mind what's done on the campuses is just as important as what will be done at the system task force. In fact, I'm imagining most of the specific details about how we'll operate in the fall will be done on those campuses. Therefore, this task force is certainly not going to operate in isolation. It will stay connected with groups and individuals on campus, so there'll be constant and helpful sharing of ideas and information between the campuses and the system throughout the process. In addition, as we proceed, we may add people to the system task force for either the long or short term as we need it. In other words, this is not a static group. This will be a constantly evolving and probably changing group. But the goal is to be as prepared for fall 2020 as we can, and with all of the uncertainty we currently have. So, to go with that is my report. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Do any board members have any questions of Dr. Mahoney? Okay, I hope the media has taken note of all that the SIU system and its respective campuses in Springfield, Edwardsville, and Cardinal have been doing, much of it behind the scenes, to support the battle against the COVID-19, which we will beat and overcome. And it's a large part due to the efforts of people we have on our campuses, as well as the healthcare workers and the scientists that hopefully will get an immunization against this virus. At regular board meetings, 30 minutes will be reserved to receive comments or questions from members of the public and employees of the university. Speakers' comments or questions should not exceed 5 minutes. Persons wishing to speak shall contact the Executive Secretary of the Board. The Executive Secretary of the Board shall maintain a roster of those seeking to speak and shall call the speakers in order. Madam Secretary, do we have any speakers today?
Yes, we do. We have two. Our first speaker is Dr. Eric Duff Robel.
Unmuted?
You are.
Yeah.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity to speak today, especially under such challenging circumstances. I'm not sure speaking into a computer screen is more or less intimidating than standing at the lectern and speaking into a microphone, but I do know this is the first time in my adult life I literally come with a mute button. Many of my students would say this is evidence that prayers get answered. I'll try to keep you from using the button, so I'll keep my comments brief, stick with facts from our own system budget and the university fact books that I know we all agree on, and I've rounded all my numbers off just to keep things simple. So the Carbondale campus serves about 11,200 students, and the Edwardsville campus serves about 13,000 students, and the system's overall budget includes $186 million state-appropriated tax dollars, and you devote $93 million of that to the Carbondale campus and $55 million of it to Edwardsville. That means that on a per capita basis, you devote $8,300 a year to each Carbondale student and $4,200 a year to each Edwardsville student. That's $4,100 more each year, over $16,000 more over 4 years, provided to Carbondale students over Edwardsville students. Now, if you check the current U.S. News and World Report, you'll find that Carbondale students pay 15% more per year and graduate with a third more debt than Edwardsville students do. So clearly, all that money is not going directly to the students. And in all honesty, we all know that you wouldn't simply allocate more money directly to Carbondale students, because that would be wrong. So the additional money in Carbondale's budget has to be for something else. And what we keep hearing is that it supports their very costly and labor-intensive PhD programs. And indeed, according to the most recent fact books, Carbondale has about 600 PhD students. But if you provide the same $4,200 for all the non-PhD students in Carbondale as you do in Edwardsville, that only gets us to $47 million, leaving $46 million for educating those 600 PhD students. That's $77,000 per student per year. Now, Harvard only charges $50,000 a year, so we can literally send every PhD student from Carbondale to Harvard and save the system $16 million a year. So clearly that can't be it either. So what is it then? Honestly, it is staring itself in the face. It's just that no one can bring themselves to say it. I'm going to say it. If you look at the fact books here in round numbers, is what you'll see. SIUE, with 13,000 students, has 2,300 permanent faculty and staff. That is a ratio of 5.5 students to every one employee. Illinois State, 21,000 students, 3,600 faculty and staff, also a ratio of 5.5 students per employee. NIU, 20,000 students, 3,700 faculty and staff, has 6 students per employee. Governor State is at 5-1. Eastern, Northeastern, and Western, each at 6-1. And the U of I, with 51,000 students and about 10,000 faculty staff, is at 5 students per employee. But excluding the medical school, just the Carbondale campus itself, with 11,200 students, has 2,750 permanent faculty and staff. That is just 4 students per employee. To get Carbondale even close to the average of 5.5-1, you need at least 650 fewer faculty and staff. Now, according to openpayrolls.com, with the average employee salary at Carbondale in 2019 at just over $70,000 a year, that is $46 million. And there you have it. But also, no wonder this is so difficult. For the people in Carbondale, this isn't even about the budget, is it? But here's the thing. Carbondale is a university. It is not a regional jobs program. The Illinois General Assembly did not create this board of trustees for the purpose of operating, managing, controlling, and maintaining SIU only when it's needed. You were created for moments like this one. Your job, your purpose, and your mandate is to do what's necessary, even when it's hard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Jocelyn DeGroot Brown.
Hi. Y'all hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. All right. So, hi, I'm Josie DeGroot, Faculty Senate President at SIUE in the Department of Applied Communication Studies, and I'm finishing up my 11th year as a Cougar at the E. When I signed up to speak to the Board of Trustees about 2 months ago, I was mad, furious. The Faculty Senate had just unanimously passed the SIUE Equality Resolution, and I wanted to make sure I was on the speaking list to further clarify our position. However, that seems off topic given what's happened in the world since our last board meeting, so I'm kind of pivoting to a different focus, one of adaptation, creativity, and flexibility. And it echoes much of what President Mahoney just talked about. We've been hearing the words unprecedented, challenging, unique, crisis, pandemic, and it's been frustrating, confusing, and distressing. But amidst all of these rapid changes, we've held fast to our five SIUE values: citizenship and social responsibility, excellence and innovation, inclusion and a supportive environment, integrity and honesty in our communication system, with an eye on lifelong learning. In the days following the announcement that SIUE would move classes to an online platform, the faculty went to the listserv, but not to complain this time. We went to share resources and knowledge. We emailed each other, chatted with colleagues at other universities, virtually attended webinars to learn the technology, and got ideas from other professors on social media who were going through the same thing. We went to work during spring break, and we went to work hard. We also adjusted our teaching and learning professional development workshops to now focus on synchronous and asynchronous online learning and assessment. Our ITS department, including the amazing Instructional Design and Learning Technology Division, took this challenge head on. Staff across campus offered whatever services they had in order to help the students and assist the transition to online instruction and learning. They were amazing. Everyone has been terrific. But I'm not surprised at all. That's why I work here. I work with amazing people. I've talked with numerous colleagues at other universities, read enough stories at the Chronicle of Higher Education, and heard numerous other anecdotes, and I'm thankful to be here with the decisions we've made to help our students and our faculty. And by we, I mean SIUE. We are a we. We are a family. And we have realized that the stay-at-home order and urgency to move classes online occurred while many people are worried about their own at-risk family members and homeschooling their own children. And that has bigger implications for our faculty in terms of the tenure and promotion clock, student evaluations, sabbaticals, the list goes on. And this has far-reaching impacts. Through shared governance, legitimate shared governance, we acknowledged these challenges and came up with thoughtful solutions. And the same is true when it came to our students. We had to think about grade assignments, housing, Wi-Fi, loaning out technology, online textbooks. And we've been active in helping our students any way we can, personally, professionally, and of course, academically. Is it perfect? Yeah. But we're doing our best, and our best is really, really good. And that's what people do when they care about their students. They do what has to be done in order to support the students. SIUE is and has always been student-centered. And let me just say, while I have a second, we miss our students. The campus misses them. The deer and the geese miss them. Well, probably not the geese, though, because they're just terrible creatures, but they're missed. And we're making the best of a challenging situation, something we're used to doing given our allocation situation. The people at the E are amazing, brilliant, and kind. But don't mistake our kindness for weakness. Our students, faculty, and staff have succeeded in spite of inequity in allocations. We've made things work for 10 years. And that energy to making it work needs to be directed back to teaching and learning that we're so good at. As I described, SIUE and its students are absolutely incredible, and they deserve more resources and attention than have previously been given to them. We welcome the opportunity to work with you to realize this goal and address the inequities laid out in our SIUE Equality Resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. DeGroot Brown, and congratulations on your impending promotion to full professorship.
Thank you. Very excited.
Okay, our next item is the call for the omnibus motion. The trustees have had approximately 10 days to study the items on the agenda. A certain number are routine or self-explanatory, so as to save time, we act upon them in one motion. I understand that items C and D are going to have to be pulled and voted on separately, Madam Secretary, but will you please read the items suggested for the omnibus motion?
Items E, F, G H I J K L M N O and P. We will also do Q separately.
Okay, is there a any discussion regarding items E through P? Is there a motion to approve the items listed for the omnibus motion as read by the secretary? Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Been moved by chair by trustee Tedrick, seconded by
Dr. Sharma.
Dr. Sharma. I'm now to ask for a roll call vote on omnibus motion.
Curtis?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Hightower? Hightower? Lockett? Rogers?
Yes.
Sharma?
Yes.
Scholar?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
Tedrick?
Yes.
Then we'll go back to Hightower?
Yes.
Okay. And Lockett?
I'm assuming you're calling my name. There's some stand somewhere, but yes.
Yeah. And this is on the omnibus motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I declare the motion to approve the omnibus motion has passed. We're now going to take up board items C and D. Do I have a motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we're going to now ask for a roll call vote on items C and D.
Curtis?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Hightower?
Yes.
Lockett?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Sharma?
Yes.
Scholar?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
Tedrick?
I recuse.
Okay.
Okay, the next item is the author. First of all, I declare the motion is passed on C and D. The next item is the authorization of sale of certificates of participation in Series 2020A, the School of Dental Medicine Advanced Care Clinic. Do I have a motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Trustee Curtis and seconded by...
I heard Dr. Hightower.
Dr. Hightower.
And second by John Simmons.
Simmons, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're now going to ask for a roll call item on, roll call vote on item Q.
Curtis?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Hightower?
Yes.
Lockett?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Sharma?
Yes.
Scholar?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
And Tedrick? Roger Tedrick?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I declare the motion to have passed. That concludes the business of the Board of Trustees today. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Board will be held June 9th of this year at the Illinois School of Medicine.
And I think Mackenzie also, maybe. But this being the last board meeting for Mackenzie and I, and you know, wrapping up my 10 years in Carbondale, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to everybody that's been a part of this journey. I'm thankful for every board member I've had to, I've worked with in the past 2 years. Especially thankful for Missy Whittington and Paula Keith. You guys have been awesome. The provost, the deans, everybody in the Carbondale campus, especially the student leaders, mentors, Brown, for myself and others. But just before we end everything, I would not want to be sitting at the stage that we all sit at and get yelled at by the public without anyone else. Okay. So I'm so thankful to sit at that table with you all. And I am thankful for President Mahoney and what you all will be doing in the future, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, Brown, you stole my thunder. I was getting to you. and also to McKenzie, but you got there first. But it's been a pleasure. You and I have almost been like brothers from different mothers. We have met a lot of times, talked on the phone a lot of times, and you've been a valuable board member. And you could have kept on going to school and run for a re-election if you wanted to.
My wallet says otherwise. I'm still waiting for Luke to adopt me.
Okay. All right. McKenzie, anything you wish to say?
Yeah, actually, I had something. So talking about the global pandemic and whatnot, and being a first-generation college student, obviously having the ceremonies, you know, pushed back or held virtually, at first it was a little bit of a blow and, you know, kind of upset about that. And then reality kind of struck for me because my grandma got sick. And so I took her to the hospital, and I was like, you know, this is what matters. And there were certain healthcare workers that we had encountered that were just kind of lacked empathy. And I understand the stress, but it was just, you know, this is your family member that you care about. And my grandmother, she actually got transferred to a hospital, and my mom told me, there's this nurse here. And she graduated from SIUE, and I'm just so grateful that we have her. And then we came over to be with my grandma, and, you know, there was a sitter that had to be with her, and the person that answered the phone was a current SIUE student that I knew, and she was going to be a nurse. And I just think it's really incredible that these students that graduated from SIUE and SIU, they're the ones that are actually going out there and helping the world. And that's, you know, SIUE's motto is shaping a changing world, and they shaped ours. And it was just, it's really encouraging, and that's what matters, is taking our degrees and the knowledge and the networking and taking that forward in our futures. So thank you all for everything you've done for the system. I'm super excited now to take everything with me, and I'm happy to have worked with you all, especially my student trustee, Lockett. I'm very happy that we have worked so well together. So thank you all for everything you've done.
Thank you, and how is your grandmother? Is she doing okay?
Yeah, she actually popped in here a little bit earlier when was asking me for ice and whatnot.
All right, well, glad she's doing better. And I do have a question, I guess, for Dean Cruz and Chancellor Pembroke. With our nursing students and pharmacy students getting ready to go out and do rotations, do we provide them PPE, or do the facilities that they go to provide them PPE?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I'll give you a mixed answer. The employees are provided by the hospitals, but we recently were told that our students who are doing clinicals, that the expectation now is that the university will be providing PPEs for them.
Okay. Dr. Cruz?
I really don't have anything to add to that. The students are, you know, off the clinical rotations now. We hope to have them back by July the 1st. But we don't have a clear answer on the rotations that are not in our partner hospitals and our partner organizations yet.
Okay. All right. Again, I want to thank Trustee Rogers and Trustee Lockett for their commitment and dedication and hard work during the year, this last year that they've been student trustees. When we reconvene in a regular scheduled meeting in July, we will have Stephen Gear, who is as the SIUC trustee, who is a graduate student in rehabilitation, and Jacob Graham, who is a former SIUE student senate president. Both of them were elected as student trustees, and we will welcome them in July. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now, there will be I assume there's some press that may be listening in. We will have a press conference immediately after this. Any of the board members want to hang on and listen to, they're more than welcome to. So the meeting is adjourned, and we will now have the... Anybody from the press ask any questions? Jennifer, are you there?
I am, Judge.
Do you have any questions for any of the chancellors or President Mahoney or?
Well, you know, most of it was covered, but I wondered if you could walk through the process a little bit about how you're dealing with the financial challenges. I talked to some municipal leaders that are saying their budgets are anywhere from 10 to 20% down as they move into their new fiscal year. There's still a lot of questions.